So I went to seminary for most of my seminary in Atlanta, and being in a bigger city, there's all sorts of benefits, but all sorts of challenges. Well, there are all sorts of places you could go and shop. If you were in a hurry and you couldn't fight traffic, you went to one of the little local places, especially for food. Now, we had a couple of the bigger grocery stores near where I lived, but there was this kind of grocery store light. I mean, it was this mom and pop kind of operation, and they had some stuff. Now, you paid for it because the price was pretty exorbitant, but you wanted to support the mom and pop kind of place. And so there was this neat kind of place you could go. But if you had time and if you had the ability, you'd want to come over here. At least I did, because it was the DeKalb County International Farmers Market. 20,000 square feet inside of all sorts of different food from all over the world. You could literally walk aisle after aisle after aisle, seeing stuff that you had no idea what it was or how you were supposed to eat it. And they had all these different little signs telling you, okay, this is what this is, and this is how you cook it, and it was just fascinating to see all the different things. Now, they had a wide variety of all kinds of stuff, but the one thing that they had more of than anything else was fruit. They had fruit from all over the world, stuff that you couldn't pronounce and stuff you were not sure how to get past the pokey parts of it. There was all this different stuff from all over the world, and it was fascinating to go and to try out all these different things and to see just this wide variety and vast assortment. Now, while I was there, this mom and pop place decided that they were going to try and expand a little bit. And so they tried to really push their own fruit department. Put a big banner out front. We now have fruit. So, you're trying to be supportive. So you go in there, and I walk over to the fruit section. And maybe you've been in a store like this that they tried to do fruit, but it just didn't quite get there. I mean, there was one shelf, and you had one little bunch of bananas that were brown, and you had two apples in various mushy states, and then right here you had the weirdest looking lemon I had ever seen. It was this kind of weird color, and I couldn't figure out, and I was staring at it, and the guy who owned the shop literally came over and looked and went, "You want the orange?" And I went, "No, I think I'm good." And just the contrast between the two, in the same city, about 15 minutes away from each other when it's not rush hour, you had this wide variety and vast assortment of fruit, and over here, you had one or two or three things that weren't actually very good. This morning, we are beginning several weeks of us studying what Paul uses in the epistle of the Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, as the fruit of the Spirit. What Paul says is the fruit of the Spirit. Paul mentions nine things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Impressive, right? So he lists all nine of these as fruit of the Spirit. And when I started preparing for this, I started thinking, okay, well, this will be good. You guys know me. I'm a type A kind of personality. I decide we're going to do this. We're going to get into it. And I immediately go into the thought of every week, we're going to talk about how we can really be working it. We can really be figuring out self-control. This week, we're really going to figure out gentleness. This week, we're really going to go for it. But as I started doing my research and as I started working, I realized, and I think this was God leading me, that something different is at work. Because there's several things that I learned about fruit of the Spirit just in general. And the first one is that it's not a buffet. I can't just go up and pick out the bananas of self-control because I feel like I want some more of that. And the kiwis of love, that I can't just go pick and choose the things that I want. The word that's used, that Paul uses in the Greek, is fruit, not fruits. It's singular. So here's what I think is happening, and here's how I think it affects us. What I think is happening is Paul is telling us that what God wants to do is to produce fruit in our life, to produce God fruit in our life. Because what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount is that everybody produces fruit. Whether you plan on it or not, everybody produces some sort of fruit. And the kind of stuff that your life produces is how people can tell what kind of person you are. So, I don't think this time, I don't think during this series that our purpose is to really dig in and really try and get at patience or love or gentleness or faithfulness. I think the first thing we have to understand before anything else is that God grows the fruit we don't. If you have ever tried to keep a flower alive or plant a garden, you don't need me to tell you that. Trust me, I've killed a cactus before. I am deadly to plants. But it's not me that can make it grow. What I can do is I can do all the things that give it the best possible scenario in which to grow. I can make sure that the soil's right. I can make sure it has enough but not too much sunlight, enough but not too much water. I can make sure that I'm putting it in an environment and creating this environment where it has the best possibility to grow. What God wants for us is not for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control to just be 9 more things we add on top of our life. This is not just how can I shoehorn peace into my world. What this is, as the fruit of the Spirit, is a challenge to us. God is saying, look at your life. Look at what you are producing. Look at what is coming out of the life you are choosing to live. God's saying, I think that if you gave more of yourself over to me, if you created a better environment where more God things could grow, this is the kind of stuff that would develop. And I think, Patrick, I think that you and I will want this. I think that we can look at our lives and see that there are parts of our lives where there are thorns, where there's bad soil, where there are places where we just don't let God in enough, and the environment is not very good. And I hope, and I pray, that we will hear the challenge of the fruit of the Spirit, that you can't make patience grow in your life, but you can create the environment where God can make it grow. Do you hear the distinction on that? You aren't the one that makes patience grow, but you are the one who pulls out those things that choke God out. You are the one that makes sure that you are feeding yourself with good things of God. You are the one that creates and maintains the environment. So your job is not to make patience. Your job is to create the space where God can come in and transform your life and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Just so that you know what we're talking about, Galatians chapter 5 is your extra verse of the day. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay. So. All right. So, that's the general overview of fruit of the Spirit. This morning, we're talking about patience. And this kind of looks like a football, basketball thing, but it really is a watermelon. And so our text for this morning is from Luke chapter 2. And it is Luke 2, starting in verse 41. Luke 2, starting in verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, when his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Doesn't that sound like a 12-year-old? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Okay, what on earth does this have to do with patience? And here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I think is happening here. I think we can see from the time that Jesus is 12, he is getting the idea, if he doesn't know fully, that he is different. That there is something special about him, that he is from God, called to do something differently. Okay? But Jesus doesn't begin his ministry, his full ministry, until he's about 30 years old. So from the time he's 12 to the time that he's 30, 18 years, he is not doing this ministry. He, as best we believe, is learning to be a carpenter like his father, along to what we think is the right thing. Sometimes it is the right thing, and sometimes we wind up there, but other times, God's timing and God's patience opens us up to the real right thing. Patience is having a long fuse and having the right vision to understand that God's timing sometimes isn't our timing, and the best thing that we can do is try and match our clock to God's. How many of you could use a little more long fusedness? How many of you could do with a little bit more of trying, of having your clock match to God's clock? When you work and create a space where God can work through you, where you create an environment through prayer, through coming to church, through doing Bible study, through connecting with other Christian believing friends, when you get those things out of your life that you know are poison, when you work to create that environment where God can come in and develop this fruit in you, one part of the fruit that develops is patience. The ability to understand and see that God's timing is not our timing. That when we want to push ahead and go quicker than we're supposed to, those who are patient are able to say, "No, I need to follow where God's calling me. And if God is saying wait, I need to wait." Scripture's filled with people who tried to push God. Abraham and Sarah. All the way up to Mary in the Gospel of John with Jesus. Is trying at the wedding in Cana. Mary's going over to Jesus and saying, "Listen, you know, they're about to be really embarrassed here. Now would be a good time for you to start pumping out some miracles." Jesus says, "You know, it's not your timing or my timing. It's God's timing that needs to be the focus." When we focus on patience, we can't do it ourselves. We can't just go, "Okay, today I'm going to be more patient and really work at it." Patience is one of the fruits that develops within us when we make space for God. So my challenge for you is, what are the areas in your life where you are not making space for God? Where is your life more like this fruit department rather than this fruit department? Because the farmers market over here spent a lot of time, spent a lot of effort, spent a lot of energy, and spent a lot of money creating this. How much effort are we putting in to the environment that we have? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to change? What do you need to add so that God can develop God's fruit in you? How different would your life be if instead of being short-fused, you were long-fused? Patience. Let's pray.